This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we've partnered with FanHub to put fans first. Search FanHub app to play your part in the journey.
The Custer's Black Podcast, whatever that is.
Actually worked for Simon.
Can hear Simon.
Hello.
Always a good sign. Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Oh, it feels nice to actually be on one of these ones. The last time I was on a podcast was Barnet, where we literally just beaten Barnet as well. So it's a good record for me so far.
Yeah, so you're a good omen then for your fans at least.
Well, most of the time.
Well, thanks for joining us anyway, mate. Appreciate it.
Thank you, mate.
No, I love coming on stuff like this, just chatting to other fans and just getting like other perspectives and stuff.
It's literally that, isn't it? We hadn't really done one with another fan till about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they've turned out to be some of the best ones we've done, really, because it's just, as you say, it's just the chat, isn't it?
And, well, I think you get other club perspectives as well, don't you? You know, what they're going through and what they thought of the game, you know, that sort of stuff. So. But yeah, the times we've done this, we've pretty much, apart from, well, is this the third one we've done now?
Third one with an opposition fan. We've won one and lost two.
Yeah.
It's not been ideal.
Well, to be fair though, you hadn't really lost in a while, and then Gateshead came, and then you just lost to us again. So it's not been a good few weeks for you guys.
No, it's been coming kind of because of the situation we're in off the field, but with all due respect, I don't think anyone thought he was going to come against Gateshead and Aldershot. I thought maybe Notts County and Wrexham. So funny game, but I guess we might as well get onto the game. Let's get your perspective first, actually. So how did you think the game went?
I mean, I was very mixed, to be honest, because firstly, well, going into this game, all the Aldershot fans I spoke to, it's like Southend is going to play us off the park. As soon as Ross McNeely took over, we'd won 3 in a row. It was looking pretty. Then we went and lost 3 in a row, most recently a 2-0 loss up at Wrexham. So going into this game, it was awful. But I don't know. We just seemed to, everything just seemed to click, and we really found that spark that we'd just been missing in the last few games, and it paid off.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought you guys played quite well, actually. I mean, you defended well in terms of you kept your shape well and your discipline. And I think as soon as you got that goal, we weren't really going to win that game.
Yeah, as lucky as the goal that it was, we were just pressing from the front. A mistake at the back, Justin pounced and put in the bomb corner. From that moment, I was a bit nervous knowing the quality that Southend have. going forward, especially on the recent games, you've been scoring loads, not conceding many, bar Gateshead. But yeah, we just seem to look so strong at the back. Tyler Cordner and Corey Jordan just looked absolutely unbelievable. I mean, together, they didn't look like anyone to get past them that day.
I don't think we really... Well, I know we only played well up front, but I don't think our striker beat him once in the air or anything like that. You know, we actually had Cordner a few years back, and we had that Jordan on trial years ago. Never got picked up. I think I can't remember what it was like, but we've got four strikers at the moment, so it was quite frustrating seeing that. But fair play to him. Like you said, they defended really well.
Yeah, now Tyler's been one of our best players this season. He's just such a rock at the back, and he's got the thing that he adds for us is danger from set pieces. As you saw with Corey Jordan, he scored from the corner, sorry, the free kick today, well, yesterday, but we really are starting to score a lot more goals with our defenders. Like Yeovil the other day, Giles Phillips scored from a cross, Corey Jordan scored against Southend. But Tyler Cordner is our centre-back, and he's almost our top scorer on five.
It's quite impressive. We have five goals from centre-half.
Yeah.
No, fair play. He seems to have turned it around a bit, actually. I think, yeah, it was last year. Yeah, last year was at Weymouth. He was at us the year before that, and he didn't really impress, to be honest. I don't think really. We actually did try and sign him, saying that, but I guess we got relegated, but... And then he got relegated with Weymouth last year. So it was Mark Moles at signing, wasn't it?
Most of the players that we got were either Bournemouth Academy or Weymouth. So Tyler, Ollie, and Josh McCoy, they all came from Weymouth. Then the likes of Corey Jordan, all that, they all came from Bournemouth Academy. But saying that, Tyler Cordner and that, they all came from the Bournemouth Academy as well. Like Frank Vincent on loan, he played at Bournemouth Academy because Mark Moser used to manage the under 23s there, so that's where they all came from.
Yeah, well, I guess that's where we got a bit of a little segue, I guess, onto Mark Moser, because obviously we had it before he joined you guys, and
it's a very strange period for us that because we, well, I personally never in person saw a Southend United team managed by Mark Moser because it was in the COVID season. I think, Ege, you might have saw one game.
Yeah, I saw one.
Where remember that mental time you could have 2,000 fans in, but that was it. Ede went to one of them games. So I watched Mark Moseley on the telly. So that was a strange season. But
yeah,
I, in the end, I ultimately felt really sorry for him because it was just complete. Well, you don't know if it was right man, wrong time, but it was absolutely the wrong time.
Yeah.
And what was he like with you? Because I was reading a lot of comments at the time, obviously trying to like follow him, seeing how he got on. Because I quite liked him in that sense, and it seemed to be quite similar to when it was with us. A lot of people, it was either blaming him or the chairman. There was sort of no in between. It was one or the other, and he's either out of his depth or he hasn't been backed enough. And that's probably what it was the same with us. But I wanted to get your perspective on that.
So the thing with Mark, honestly, he's one of the most down-to-earth, lovely guys. Every time that I ever spoke to him, he was like, he's so lovely to me. And from what I've heard from the players, like as a guy, he's such a lovely guy. It's just, and as a hard-working man, you could never get anyone that works any harder. It's just his tactical awareness sometimes is just wrong. Like, I remember Wildstone at home just sticks out of my mind massively. We were 1-0 up and Wildstone was starting to like dominate the ball as they do their very strong ball playing side. And instead of keeping that extra threat up top, he decided to take off one of our midfielders, put on an extra centre back. And we've been all the other times that we've done that this season, we ended up losing the game. And inevitably, we brought on an extra centre back. We couldn't deal with the pressure. We ended up losing the game 2-1. And you just sit there thinking, if we had kept on that extra midfielder, we would have had that attacking output to maybe get that second goal and just sit a lot more comfortably in the game. So as a hardworking man, you couldn't really get any better. It's just his decision-making sometimes is a bit concerning.
That sounds really similar.
It's quite similar. There was a lot of times he got dubbed as quite negative when he was here as well. But yeah, to be perfectly honest, that there weren't many games that we were winning that he could make that sort of defensive sub. We couldn't really play for time.
It's interesting to get that perspective on it. It seems to be a theme with him, unfortunately. I actually think he's still got a chance of being a manager.
100%.
He might have to go back to being a 23s, maybe, or even going to be a first team coach at an actual, a first team and getting experience that way. But literally what you're saying there about the hard work, and everyone said that. Literally everyone said he used to be at the training grounds for about 11 p.m. at night.
Yeah, he's just so hardworking, and I feel, like you said earlier, I just feel bad for him because you can tell that he really has got the passion, the heart and the desire to be a manager, and he has got what it takes. Like you said, he's going to be there at the training ground till 11 p.m, analysing footage, going through everything, and he really does have what it takes. It's just that tactical awareness sometimes. I remember when I was at Weymouth away, I was speaking to a few people there, and apparently Mark had a chat with Eddie Howe because they worked at Weymouth, something to do with a Weymouth connection. But he had a chat with Eddie Howe, and Eddie Howe said to him, "Mark, don't go to league, don't make the step up to League Two." I think this was before he went to Southend, actually. He was like, "Don't make the step up. It's too big of a jump for you, and I think you're really going to struggle." And inevitably, he did end up struggling at Southend, whether it was the players, the board, or whatever it was. He did end up struggling. Yeah, it's just so hard because the thing about Aldershot is we will have such a small budget for the size of the club that we are. Like we're comfortably a Football League side, and when you're not getting the backing, well, any manager that's not getting the backing, they're really going to struggle. The only time that we've done well in recent times was Gary Woodock when he was on double the budget that our managers are being given now.
Yeah, we had one up for a bit as well. Why is that though? Is that new chairman? Is it coming or?
So Azeem, I think he came in 2017 under Woodock, and we initially backed him. We had playoffs 2 years in a row, 16 and then 17, and then apart from that, we've been fighting relegation. The main reason for financial problems at our club is as soon as we got relegated from League Two, we spent so much money just investing in trying to get promoted straight away. So for the next four seasons after we got relegated, we were just pumping money into the club, overspending like mad just to try and get promoted. And inevitably, we didn't get promoted and we're just paying the consequences for it now.
Yeah, that's probably similar to us.
It's quite similar. We've probably done the exact same thing, but on a bigger scale, where when we were a League One club, we had a couple of years we were flirting with those League One playoffs.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly how it went. We didn't quite make it into the playoffs 1 year, and then it's like we sort of put all our eggs in one basket that year. This is going to go pop because we didn't go up. We got a lot of players here, a lot of ex like Championship play, even ex Premier League players that are here on big money for a League One club, that really was a pretty big factor in the start of our decline, really.
Yeah, it's so hard because for me personally, ever since I've supported Aldershot, we've just been fighting relegation every year. And when you just look back at the history, when we went bust in 1992, as soon as we reformed, went 35 home games unbeaten, and we were just going everywhere. Just like we were taking like 1,000 fans away here, and then like 1,500 fans there. And when you got a club like us and a club like you, this teams that should be doing so much better than they are, it mainly is just financial reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, our biggest ever winner as a club has come against Aldershot. I should add that.
No, stop it.
You've gone for it. We're not even that far in. We're only like 15 minutes in and you've gone for it.
He's been saying that for the last 2 years, I bet. He's like, one day we're going to get an Aldershot fan on here. We're going to start rubbing it in his face. Nah, at least we beat you on Saturday.
Yeah, so, you got us on Saturday.
I've never seen a win at Aldershot, so... You've got that.
I've been there 3 times now. I've seen the floodlights go out once, but
I was going to say we already see wins at Aldershot, so I won't be too surprised.
Yeah. So what did you make of the South End team from your point of view? What did you think? Because if we're being honest, we weren't at it again. But you know, I think we still show glimpses at times.
Just to jump in quickly. It was very similar for our game up at Gateshead a week ago, where obviously we've lost the game, but we haven't played that badly. And that's quite a weird one for us, because normally we're still coming off the back of 2 or 3 years of losing near enough every game, and we've been abysmal. So it's actually quite a new feeling for us to be like, we weren't actually that bad there.
Yeah, when you sort of look at the balance, it wasn't that bad. We still created chances, but it was just a bit flat and, you know, a couple of mistakes, and it was, you know, 2-0 loss.
That's exactly the same. That was literally the start of our season. For the first, I think it's like the first few months. It was definitely the whole of August and the start of September. We were playing so well. We were creating like 12 chances a game, but we just weren't putting the ball in the back of the net. And ultimately, we ended up paying the consequences of that, because when we did start playing badly, the results just carried on poorly. And that's what led to Mark, unfortunately, getting sacked. But the game on Saturday, I was a bit disappointed, to be honest, because, well, I say I was disappointed from a football perspective. I was a bit disappointed because Southend, you know, they're a brilliant footballing side. I do keep up with quite a lot of like the non-league teams. I do watch like quite a few like vlogs and videos and stuff about the clubs. And from all I'd heard, like when you guys played Barnet, you absolutely played them off the park. They said that they were one of the best teams, that you were one of the best teams that they've played this season. It's just stuff like that. And then you come to Aldershot, and then I don't think I've ever seen so many overhit passes in my life. I think that was just really the summary of the game. We just couldn't string a few passes together. The goalkeeper kept on putting it out. Mm. And ultimately, Aldershot saw that. We pounced on it and thankfully made you guys pay for it.
Yeah. No, I think it's pretty fair way of putting it.
Certainly that first goal, that you punished this.
Yeah.
You punished the mistake. Yeah.
100%. I mean, you guys had all of the ball in the first half. There was no denying that, but you didn't do anything with it. Like, you were just passing it around, but it was just both teams really were just lacking that quality in the final third. And then eventually, the only way that game was going to open up realistically based on that first half was a mistake like that. Then as soon as Aldershot took the lead, Southend saying, oh no, we really can't be losing this game. So then they start going for a little bit more, which then leaves them vulnerable. And thankfully, we got a goal early on in the second half and we were just able to defend brilliant. I don't think I've ever seen us defend that well, to be honest. We rarely ever keep a clean sheet. So being able to keep out a team like Southend, it's a massive result, going into Saturday against Gateshead, which
one hell of a trip.
Yeah, that's a massive game for you.
It is a trek.
That is a trip and a half. That.
Yeah, now, feel
that one.
Oh, I'm going up for the weekend, because
that's the way to do it, though. That's the way to do it.
Realistically, it's going to be like on the support. I normally get the supporters coach. It'll be 6 hours there, 6 hours back. But I just thought, I've got a mate that goes to Newcastle Uni. I'm just going to go up there for the weekend, stay there, get a separate coach up Friday morning, come home Sunday night, watch the England game up in Newcastle, probably go to like a fan park or something, just enjoy the experience. Because realistically,
yeah, why not?
Aldershot are going to end up losing, because I think every team that we've played below us, every team we've played below us this season have ended up beating us. Like, we went and beat Halifax 5-1 at home on BT Sport, and then we go and lose away to Altrincham 1-0. Like, it's just non-league.
We've done very similar. So we're I think we're still fifth, and we've actually got a pretty good record against the teams like in the playoff pack. But we've already lost to yourselves, to Gateshead and Torquay. So it's just like,
Oh, don't even mention that name to me. Torquay was one hell of an away day.
Wasn't it like 5-0?
It was 6-1.
Oh, 6-1.
Mate, it could have been about 15, I'm not gonna lie. I was just speaking because we were three games in a row that we've won. We just come off the back of a 3-0 win away at Dorking. And when you just go and beat Dorking, who have beaten the likes of Notts County at home this season, it was an amazing feeling going and beating them 3-0 there. And then you go into Torquay, bottom of the league, haven't won at Plainmoor in 6 months. He's like, oh yeah, this is going to be a nice 3-0 win.
I didn't realise that.
It's going to be a nice like 3-0 win down by the sea. It's freezing, but we'll get the job done. We'll go home happy. They put the first goal in and you're just thinking, crap. It's not the thing. We have a few chances, and then Joe Partington, one of our most crucial players in the midfield, goes off injured, and then you're just thinking, oh,
it's not our day.
This really isn't going to be our day. And then the third and the fourth and the goals just go in, and then you're just sat there just thinking, oh, I've got another 3 hours to get home, and we're just being out.
That's the one, isn't it? When you're the away team and you've been hammered, you just think, I've still got to get home.
Yeah. Because it was a Tuesday night, so it was about 10 o'clock by the time we'd left. Bearing in mind, we had to come all the way back from talk. I think I got home about 2 a.m. that day.
Nice.
And I was just like, do I edit my video? No, I'm too angry. I'm going to bed and I'll just do this tomorrow.
We had one, as you mentioned, that Barnet game about a month ago, where we literally did play them off the park. Obviously, that's quite a local one for us. But he drove. And we were in the car park after the game. Because we won 3-0, we found it funny. It took us an hour to get out of the car park.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what was going on.
Don't drive to that ground.
Something was going on with the barrier letting people, like the number plate recognition wasn't working.
I think they were just annoyed that you bloody beat them.
They're just keeping you there. But I was saying, I was like, could you imagine if we're somewhere like Solihull and we've got like a 3-hour drive home and we're sat in the car park for an hour?
Oh, no. Thankfully, I don't drive. I always just get the supporters coach. So my away days are literally just getting the train to Aldershot and just sleeping the whole way there and the whole way back. So I'm just chilling. I'm just put the earphones in, just go to sleep, watch the match, and then... Just
have another kip on the way home.
it makes the journey so much quicker, honestly. The amount of times that I've just been on that coach now, like a 2-hour journey just feels like 20 minutes.
Yes, I wish I wish I could have done that on the coach to Gateshead.
Oh,
I could have done with that feeling like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You need to, mate.
I'm going with a separate coach company. So my coach is actually 10 hours to Gateshead.
That is one of the grimmest things I think I've ever heard.
because I'm going to Newcastle, there's no way I'm going to go to Newcastle and not go on a night out at some point.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do, the coach where I'm getting it from leaves at 5:45 a.m. to get to Newcastle for 4 o'clock. Otherwise, I'll be getting there at midnight. So I'm probably just going to have to stay up and then just sleep on the coach, because there's no chance that I'm going to be doing anything else on that coach.
No,
probably just put a few World Cup.
That is heavy. That is heavy.
It's about 12 hours on the way back, though.
I'd rather you than me at that. Jesus.
Yeah, I don't envy you there, mate. I'll be honest.
Some of the things that football fans do for football clubs.
But isn't it mental? You try and explain that to anyone that doesn't follow a football team. They're like, what are you doing? Why are you doing?
Most of my mates from college, like when I finished college last year, but like every time I was like, yeah, I've got a 5-hour trip up to, like when we had Oldham Way on a Friday night, I was just like, yeah, I'm going to Oldham tonight. And it's like, wait, you're traveling 5 hours to watch a game for about 2 hours and then come home for another 5-hour trip? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, what's the point in that? You're literally traveling 10 hours for a little 2-hour thing. I'm like, it's not, it's just so hard to get the point across. It's like,
but nothing, you wouldn't do that for anything else. Because when you weigh up when the travel time is more than what you're actually going there to do, you do think, why am I doing this?
I just always think that it's like, say, for example, you're going to the cinema. You wouldn't travel 5 hours to go to the cinema to watch like a film, to travel 5 hours
to watch
back.
A 90-minute film.
Like, I think the thing that's just so good about it is just you don't know what's going to happen in a football match. Like, you could, like I said, we beat Halifax 5-1, and then you could just go away to bottom of the league and then just lose to them.
That's the one. If it's the one where you've won 5-1 and like away from home and you're not there, you're kicking yourself.
Oh, 100%.
So you've always got to go just in case it's that one.
Yeah, I've
it's been about 10 years for us since we worked it out a little while ago, didn't we? How long has it been since we scored 5 in a game?
7 years.
7 years.
Oh my. Yeah. I thought Aldershot's was bad. I think ours was about 5.
And that was away. We haven't scored 5 in a home game for 16 years.
Yeah.
60. Oh my God.
We're in the championship.
I was going to say, I'm only 19, so I would have been 3 years old when that happened. I was only a baby.
Yeah, we beat QPR 5-0 on the telly. That's the last time we scored 5 goals in a home game.
We've conceded 5 plenty of times.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, you must have conceded. Yeah,
conceded 5. Conceded 7.
I think the most I've seen us concede was probably that 6 at Torquay. But honestly, some of our games, we could have conceded way more, honestly. Like Wrexham, we defended well second half. But it's like Wrexham at home last season, we lost 5-0. We lost 4-1 away. We lost 4-1 to Grimsby away. Like, I think Southend's like one of the only big teams that we actually seem to do well against.
You seem to be a little bit of a bogey side for us. Yeah, as I say, the amount of times I've been to your ground, which it's only 3, but I've never seen a win there.
Yeah, it's like I think that's the same in Notts County, because we always seem to do well against Notts County at home. Like last season, we beat Notts County 3-1. I think one thing that did edge that though is the fact that that game, if we won that game, we were confirmed survival and not getting relegated. So, like, there was a lot at stake that game, and we really went for it. But yeah, it's like the National League is just impossible to predict what's going to happen.
Mm.
You look at people like Notts County sell out for 16,500 and get a 0-0 draw against Yeovil. And I just don't get it. Like 1 week you're going away to Notts County where there's like what you say, like I said, 16,000, then you've got Maidenhead away the next week where you can barely fit like 500 away fans, and it feels like you're bloody playing a Sunday league match.
But I guess it's all about expectations, well, ain't it, really? Yeah, that's what you got crazy. I mean, you said you got a small budget earlier, aren't we? So what's the expectation at Aldershot? From a fan perspective, but then also, a realist perspective.
Yeah, what's the club's sort of, I don't know, mission statement?
I mean, realistically, for us, it's just about surviving. I mean, as sad as it is all the club's aim is just to stay in the National League. Realistically, what the fans want to be seeing is any fan really is just progression on last season. Like we barely survived relegation. If it was a normal season, we actually would have been relegated because only 3 teams got relegated last season.
Yeah.
So we would have been that 4th team. But the thing is, we do have a squad to do well. Like some of our players we have, like Tyler Corden, Iniesta Young. He's on 6 goals now. Justin's on 6. Like I said, Tyler's on 5. Tommy Willard's now on 5. Like, we do have the team to finish mid-table. It's just about appointing the right manager, because we've got Ross, who's from the academy right now, and there is a lot of rumours that he will be appointed the manager because he's the cheap and easy option. But
How's that going to go down?
Oh, it's not going to go down very well at all. From what I've been told by certain people that I shall not name. As soon as Mark Mercer got sacked, Ross was going to be given the job unless he did poorly. And then we went on that 3 game. We went on those 3 games where we won every single one and it was looking pretty. Everyone was like, you know what? I'll be happy with Ross. And then we go and lose 3 games in a row. It's just like, oh, this will be the worst managerial appointment ever. I don't know why we'd ever do this. Then we just go and beat Southend, and it's just, there's not really been much comment about it, to be fair. But as far as the club's perspective is, we won those 3 games. So there was like, there's no point rushing it if we're doing well. So we can take the time to find the right manager that will hopefully steady the ship and take us forward. But they seem to just carry on taking their time when we before Saturday, we just started to be poor again.
Mm. And as you say, it's got to fit within your budget.
Oh, 100%. I mean, realistically, if you're going to overspend a little bit on anything, it's got to be the manager. So that's what, as high as it is, like, I'm just praying that we do spend a little bit more money and just get the right manager in. Even if we do, like, take a little bit of a hit from what we spend on the squad, I'd rather a good manager that's just going to get everything in, look at everything, and just take us forward. Because you look at, there's always a few teams every year that do overachieve. And if we do bring in the right manager, there is the possibility that we can overachieve. And I mean, it's weird saying it, but maybe even push for the playoffs one year. But it's hard because you look at Halifax, as soon as they lost their manager, they've started doing poorly again. And it just shows that you can do well on a small budget.
Yeah. Who would you want, manager?
Well, I've done a few videos about that, actually, just like trying to like just break down managerial stats. Perfect for me would be Kenny Jackett. I mean, it'll be very hard to get, but he has tons of experience. Like Ian Holloway, he's without a job right now. He'll be brilliant. But yeah, Ian Holloway, Kenny Jackett would be brilliant. Just somebody that has Football League experience and just knows. Not knows what they're doing, but just knows how to work on a small budget. Because realistically, unless we get bloody Ryan Reynolds' little brother bloody overtaking us or something, we're not gonna be rich. So it's just, yeah, it's hard because you could bring in a good manager and they could still do poorly. It's just football. It's very, very complex.
It is, isn't it? Because no one ever sits there and thinks they're appointing a bad manager. Everyone's always got the best intentions. But yeah, sometimes, as we all know, sadly, they don't always work out.
Yeah, you just look at it and just think, oh, this guy's going to be a perfect fit for us. And then 2 years later, you just see yourself a division below and think, yeah, he really wasn't the right guy. But you could... Well, yeah,
I thought the same with Mark Moles at the time, in fairness. I thought, here we go, this is a change of direction. And it just didn't happen like that at all. It got worse, if anything.
I did start to think that under Mark, although we didn't have the greatest start after Searle was sacked. When Mark took over, we didn't do amazingly, but we went on a 12-game unbeaten run under him. Like, we ended up, well, I mean, we always do beat Woking around the Christmas time. we were just doing unbelievable, and you just sat there just thinking, oh my, we're really building something, we can kick on here. And then we lose 1-0 to Dagenham Redbridge, and inevitably the ship just starts to sink, and then you're just thinking, oh well, it was enjoyable whilst it lasted.
Yeah Well, we've apart from our last, well, manager now, we've had a bad point for the last, I would just say, four in a row. Is it four? Is it even four, really?
Four stinkers.
We had Kevin Bond.
We had Sol Campbell.
That's
enough right there. We had Sol Campbell.
People were saying that Sol Campbell was apparently linked to the Aldershot job. And I was just looking, I was just breaking down the stats. And
I'm,
I was
so, like, sorry.
I was just, it's like, it. No. He had like a 0.8 points per game in his whole managerial career. He's managed like 40 games. And I'm just sat there just like, unless you're an Arsenal fan, why are you going to want Sol Campbell managing Aldershot?
Do not let that man anywhere near your football club.
But the thing is, though, like you said, like, he could genuinely just come in and just do unbelievable things. Like, you just, it's,
he won't. He won't.
He won't.
I guarantee that.
But the thing is, as well, I think we got drawn into that as well, because once it had happened, you are like, well, well, I've kind of got to get behind it now, haven't I? And then you start thinking, but it is Sol Campbell. Like, he was an unbelievable player. And then you just think, oh, no, he's just a nutcase.
Mental.
The one thing that really did, like, hurt about Mark Mosley is the fact that he was such a good player for us. Like, he was responsible for so many brilliant things in Aldershot's history. Like, he scored a late equaliser against Portsmouth at Fratton Park to then take us to a replay at the Ebb. And then he scored, like, an 85th-minute winner against Portsmouth to send us through to the next round. It's just stuff like that. He's like, I really want it to go well for you. And unfortunately, it didn't. And I think it was Mark's stubbornness that ultimately let him down, because he was just constantly playing five at the back when we have the players to be playing progressive, fast attacking football. And I suppose it's just finding the right man to fit, like the philosophy, having the right man with the right philosophy to fit the players. Because as soon as Ross came in, he's like the players started playing with a lot more freedom, and they really did reap the rewards for that. Like, we were scoring goals for fun, barely conceding. And it was until Torquay, it was looking amazing.
Yeah. Who did he bring with him? Because when we appointed him, he brought about 10 people with him. And to be fair, if I'm being honest, it was probably a good chunk of them were probably underqualified.
Is this Mark Mosley?
Yeah, did he bring a lot of
Tom? He brought Tom as like the assistant, and then he also brought like, I think he did bring most of his staff from Southend, to be fair.
Right, yeah, because he brought a lot with us. Yeah, so a lot of them to us, and
yeah, Joe, didn't he? Who was obviously Tom's brother, who was if I'm right.
Yeah,
saying,
but the goalie.
If I've got them the right way around, Joe and Tom, I think Joe was the goalie coach, wasn't he?
Yeah, did he take, was Joe there with you, or?
I don't think he is. I'm just trying to wrap my head. There's so many names just to try and...
Yeah. Yeah, no, because that was probably one of the things that let him down ultimately, was that he sort of, I guess he brought, it works both ways, but he brought a group with him that I guess were all his mates and had success with, but they had no experience, absolutely zero experience. And you know, when you compared it, when we was in League Two at the time, I think it was Cambridge when it got promoted with a really experienced manager, but they had Gary Waddock as number two.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, if we had just maybe kept that, maybe, you know, an experienced number two, there might have been a chance that, and probably similar with you at Aldershot now with Maltese, or, you know, back then, had he had someone a bit more experience to say, no, don't do that here, or he might have had more success.
Yeah, I see what you mean. If he was a bit stubborn, if he does have that proven manager next to him saying, you do have to look at this and think, no, you should be doing this, this and this, then I suppose he's more inclined to listen.
Yeah.
Because when you're a manager and you have a lot of experience, you, as much as you do want to listen to people around you, you do almost have to have that, no, I'm the boss, I am choosing and doing what I am.
Definitely.
Yeah, he did have Terry Brown alongside him, to be fair, as well as Tom. And Terry is a very experienced manager. And then as soon as he took over with Ross and all that, it showed that we did do well. But it's just such a hard situation, because you never want to see anyone lose their job. And it's just, but it's like you never want to see them sacked. But at the end of the day, you almost know it's the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when that did happen, when Mosley was sacked at Aldershot, did you think that was the right time?
Oh, 100%. I mean, we just lost 2-0 to Chelmsford in the FA Cup. They were leaving.
Oh, fair enough.
fair enough.
Yeah, we. I mean, Aldershot's history against lower league clubs, I think it's like out of the last 9 lower league clubs we faced in cup competitions, we've lost 7 of them. So it's not just Mosley, but obviously, when it does happen,
do you know what? That's made our cup runs actually look all right, though, hasn't it?
Yeah,
it ain't great, but it ain't quite that bad.
No, our cup runs are utterly abysmal. I mean, I think it was about 5 years ago we had the chance to go through to the semi-finals. We ended up bottling it, and that was the best chance we ever had of going through. Like, Aldershot have never been to Wembley before. I think the closest. In our whole history, we've never been. We're just not a cup team whatsoever. I mean, we've got Welling in the FA Trophy, but everyone's just like, "Well, look at, well, it looks like we're going out in the FA Trophy here." And then
picture the scene: all of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health,
we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Yeah, it's just so tough because you just want to see a club doing well. And when it's just constant battling relegation, you just don't really know what to do because you're not going to give up supporting the club. It's just, oh, we're going to get one win every bloody 2 months. And you just got to enjoy that win when you get it.
It's a bit mental, really, isn't it? And again, this is actually why it is so good to have these conversations with other fans of other clubs, because we had this exact same conversation with the chap at Gateshead last week, and we have to come away from it and think, in my time supporting Southend, which is like just over 25 years now, I have seen 3 promotions. So like it's not all been that. I have seen us beat Man United. I have seen us get a replay away at Chelsea. I've been to Tottenham twice supporting Southend. It's like maybe I do need to stop and think that we're getting a bit of the rough at the minute, but we've had a hell of a lot of the smooth as well.
Oh, 100%. I think that's why most people, like the loyal fans, will always stick there and to support the lads and just get behind the club. Because, you know, eventually, whether it will be in the near future or it will be in the distant future, you know that eventually the club will turn it around and you will get some sort of success. Because you're not going to go 100 years without even reaching the playoffs. Like, that is just... Well, I mean, if that does happen, I think the football club should just fold. But realistically, you know in your lifetime...
You've got to be incredibly unlucky for that
time. Oh, if you fight relegation for like 100 years, I think you should just give up supporting football, to be honest.
But that might be what Scunthorpe fans feel like at the minute.
Well, yeah, I don't think they've registered in a way winning the whole of 2022 or something.
No, they must only have about three games left to actually stop that being a whole calendar year. Yeah, that's...
I mean, thankfully, we don't have them to April, so hopefully they'll get a win by then, by the time they come to us, because I just know 100% that they would come to us and beat us.
If that was the last away game of the season, they're playing Aldershot, you just know what's going to happen, didn't you?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
We just seem to be Charity FC. Like every time we play a team right near the bottom, we're like, you know what? I feel bad for you. Let's make this relegation battle more interesting. Have 3 points.
Well, you say that about Scunthorpe. Actually, we've never beaten them at their ground. I say their new ground, but it's, when was it built? The '80s. We've never won there.
Well, it's the only ground that I know them to play at. So it's at least 32 years old.
Yeah,
and we've never won. We've never won there.
So that could be interesting.
Oh no! Why have we made that? I'm going to have to edit that because I can't make that a thing.
No, it's going to be. Have you played Scunthorpe with their place this week?
No, we've played them at home. We beat them 3-0, and both me and Farmers actually missed it. We were away, but by all accounts, they were utterly abysmal.
I still haven't missed a game this season. I'm making sure that I do not miss a single Aldershot match this season. Fingers crossed. I'll be able to see it through. Because I mean, realistically, if I'm making a bloody trip up to Gateshead, I don't think I'm going to be missing any of the matches.
We probably did, I'd say, comfortably 90% last season.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, I can't think of a home game that I missed last season. And then because we'd obviously got relegated into a new league, there was a lot of new grounds for us, like with these away games. So we did virtually every away game as well.
One thing I will say about Southend is your guys' fans just unbelievable. Like I said it last year. Like your fans at our place last season were 100% the best fans we had, and that's even with bloody Woking on Boxing Day, which is the derby, and you've got bloody pyros going everywhere, but. Now, I definitely do want to eventually get round to going to like a Southend away game. Like, if you guys do get into the playoffs, I'll definitely make sure to go and visit a few Southend matches because the atmosphere just seems to be brilliant.
Have you been to Roots Hall?
No, I'm going to Roots Hall this season though, because that is, I think that's going to be where we're doing the Tour of Duty. So it's the Tour of Duty. We do it like once every year at Aldershot, and it's basically, I've just been told it's just a massive excuse for loads of fans to go on an away day. So you'll be seeing quite a lot of, you'll be seeing quite a lot of Aldershot fans at Roots Hall this season.
Well, that's a guaranteed loss then for us, so that's great.
No, it was a bit of a game last season, wasn't it?
Well, in fairness, we still have Phil Brown then, so that's our excuse for losing that game.
that was my birthday last year. I was like, cheers.
Cheers, Phil. Yeah, it's supposedly we're getting a new stadium in about 2 years, so you've got to do it before it goes. Yeah, you might not get a chance to do it again if it does go. So,
I definitely will make sure to go, because with like my YouTube and stuff, I realistically just can't miss a game. So,
what is it you do with YouTube? I've not seen it. So, what is it you do?
So, I just vlog going to all the Aldershot matches, and then I go, because my brother's got a pass at Chelsea, I often like go up there and stuff. So, it's like I'm an Aldershot fan, I'm also an Everton fan. But I just go to games when I can. So I go to Chelsea quite a lot. And then, well, I go to Chelsea when I'm not going to Aldershot. And then it's just other videos on the side, like National League predictions, just like talking about like new managers or whatever's in the news. And yeah, it's good fun, to be honest. I know quite a few of the players and stuff, like people at the club love watching my videos. So that, I mean, if you need motivation, it's just right there, isn't it?
Yeah. There's a few of the South End guys that do it as well, to be fair. So it's quite a common. Well, I say it's not common, is it really? But it's certainly getting bigger, because I've never really heard of it.
It's nice to see people do it lower down the pyramid. Because I'm not being funny. It's easy to do it when you're going to Man City, because like you're videoing some of the world's best players. I'm actually pleased to see that it has filtered down the pyramid.
Yeah, now one thing I will say is it is a lot harder to get views and stuff when it does come to non-league, but I just love doing it because I love Aldershot. Like, to put it into perspective, I uploaded one Chelsea video this season, and it was Chelsea Arsenal at Stamford Bridge, and it's on like 38,000 views. And my most popular Aldershot video this season is 6K views the other day at Wrexham. But most of my videos get a few K views. If I was going to like Chelsea games or Arsenal games or stuff constantly, like the views would just be through the roof. But
yeah,
I just enjoy going to non-league matches.
I mean, I don't know what's good or not, but 6K views seems quite a lot to me.
Yeah,
that seems a lot for, like, no disrespect, an Aldershot video.
Oh no, 100%. I was over the moon with it. I think it is literally just because of all the hype that surrounds Wrexham. Like when I got off the coach, and as I was about to go into the ground, I was speaking to these people from America that had flown out to Wrexham just to watch the match.
And I was like, that is nuts. That's nuts.
I was like, yes, the hype around the club, it just brings in so many views. Yeah. Like, I know someone that makes videos for Wrexham, Liam Roberts. He's a lovely guy. He's gone from 3K subscribers to like almost 12K subscribers in the last like few months or something.
Yeah, okay, that's it.
I remember seeing something. I can't remember the numbers, but it was like website hits for like the day of the release of the Wrexham home shirt last year to this year. I can't remember the numbers, but like obviously this year, it was like a graph and it had just gone through the roof.
Well, yeah, like Wrexham have like 270K followers on Twitter. But I think that documentary made the club alone 3 million quid.
Mm.
And like, if you look at Wrexham shirts on eBay, they're going for like 300 quid.
Oh, I saw this. Last season. It's not even like a proper like vintage shirt from like 30 years ago. It was last year's shirt.
And I'm just sat there just like, oh, come on, like Ryan Reynolds can get a few, like Will Ferrell, can't he just buy Aldershot or something? And then you just have the whole of Hollywood just... To be fair, though, you wouldn't really want too many like Hollywood owners in the
if every Hollywood actor bought a National League football club just to eventually take over the Premier League, and we'll just
get someone shit about that.
Who would we get?
I don't know. Think
Kevin
of some...
Spacey. And...
Oh dear.
To be fair, you probably end up getting like, you probably end up getting like, I know it's not really Hollywood, but you end up getting like Cheryl Cole or something.
I wouldn't mind that.
I was going to say, you probably wouldn't mind that for board meetings.
If that's the short straw, I'll take it.
Hey, it's certainly better than the count, but anyway. So.
Yeah, it's hard because Wrexham does have so much money. I honestly want Wrexham to go. Because if we, it's not looking likely at all, but if we want any chance at like promotion or something, it's impossible with two promotion spots and you've got Wrexham spending millions on their players. They have a championship team in the Premier League. God, yeah, I'm getting a bit ahead of myself there. They have a championship team in the National League. And
Paul Mullin and Ollie Palmer is ridiculous in the National League. That is an absolute joke.
Yeah, it must
be the best duo that's ever played. It must be. There can't be
it's
a better duo.
Be in it. To have played in this league, it's got to be.
Can't be.
I mean, he goes and wins the Golden Boot in League Two, and then he makes a step down to go to Cambridge. Go from Cambridge to Wrexham.
So technically, he's dropped two divisions because Cambridge won the league that year, and he drops down two divisions.
To be fair, though, he is on one hell of a wage. I think I saw the other day he's on like 8k a week or something.
Yeah, it is something ridiculous. But I watched the documentary. Actually, I've got one episode left, but I think it's quite funny because I know how it ends. But I get it because obviously he's a Scouser. It is close at home for him. But also, I'm pretty sure the sweetener of probably trebling your Cambridge wages wasn't much of a pull.
Oh, no pun intended, but I watched the Wrexham documentary and it was a brilliant watch, to be honest. Just seeing all those eyes being put onto non-league is just brilliant.
I love all that sort of behind the scenes stuff. I'll watch all of them. I love all that sort of fly on the wall stuff.
Yeah, it's just so lovely. Like, it's just so good as a fan just to see what really does go on behind the scenes, because as a, like, the club's media, they're not just going to start posting videos of like them in the dressing room and stuff, like, because it's the stuff that you'll never be able to see. Like, the only time you'll ever be able to see that is if like you get like a Instagram clip of one of the players, or it's just like it's filmed and it's like footage from like 10 years ago or something. So to like get dressing room footage and just like what the managers and stuff, not necessarily thinking, but like just any behind the scenes, just.
I always think it's a very interesting insight when you get that little snippet of what a manager says at halftime.
Oh,
100%. I always think that's a really nice sort of moment to capture that, because you only get like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
How do you get your, especially if you're losing?
I'd love to see an Aldershot All or Nothing documentary.
Oh man, if there was a Southend one, it would be gold. Probably not now, because we've sorted ourselves out a little bit.
I was going to say, last season when you guys were like,
It would have had to have been the Sol Campbell era. That would have been some of the greatest television ever made.
Yeah, it's just, you see some of the... I think Everton right now would be a good All or Nothing documentary with bloody... people like someone throwing Alex Iwobi's shirt back at them, but... I feel so bad for players like that. Just imagine, just like, you'd like give a nice gesture to like give your
can you imagine
to someone, and it's like, no, have it back.
But you'd just be like, oh.
Yeah, you know what? You can't really have the ump with that, because all you've done as a fan is throwing it back. Because as a player, you've not really said anything. I've just thrown my empty gesture.
I know, and also, it wasn't theirs to begin with. So it's not like he's thrown a bottle at me or something.
Yeah, so what do you reckon your season, host of the season? Is it, I say, just to stay up, or do you reckon you've got a FA trophy push or promotion push?
My promotion, if I tell you now, if we have a bloody promotion push, then I don't even know. if Aldershot end up in the playoffs right now, then I think I'll be doing backflips all over the pitch, because... like I said, the last time we were anywhere near that was 2017. But realistically, for me, Personally, I want to see Aldershot with a mid-table finish. I know we've got the players to do it. We do have some very experienced heads in the team, and that's one thing we were lacking last year. Like, we got Josh McCoy from Weymouth. Joe Parsington, who's coming from Bromley, he honestly is probably one of the best leaders that we could have in the dressing room. Like, you just see what he does, the influence that he has on the players. I think, like stuff like that just really helps us. So a mid-table finish and then a decent FA Trophy run, maybe like a good away day or something. But if we can somehow manage to squeeze our way into Wembley, it's a very tough shout, but who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I think if you're going to, where you're talking about, I guess the best chance you've got is probably an FA Trophy run. So why not? Well, no, that's why I'd love us to get to the trophy final this year. I think that'd be great because we need a lift. I think I'm not saying people being doom and gloom, but when you're reading things about people not being paid and stuff, it's not nice. So I think that just lift everyone at the club. So I'd snap your arm off for that. So
yeah, no, I'll tell you now. If we if Aldershot South ends the FA Trophy final, then we'll have to get on another podcast before.
All right, yeah, we'll do that. The chances are probably slim because our cut record shite, but you never know.
Oh, the
so is yours by the sound of it.
Yeah. I was going to say, we'll probably end up going out in round one. Well, I say round one, like the first round that we're introduced to, and we got Welling at home, but
yeah. We got Boreham Wood. So
Boreham Wood are a very good cup side, you know, though.
Like, yeah, exactly that.
They're in the third round of the FA Cup.
The Rovers, didn't they?
Yeah, I was
one of the most anti-football teams I've seen before, but fair play, it works.
Yeah, honestly, Boreham Wood as a club and how they've run, I'll leave that to the imagination, but it's not very fun, to say the least. I don't know if you guys saw what happened at like Aldershot Boreham Wood this season, but it was...
No, I've not seen that.
So basically what happened was... When all the Aldershot fans were like celebrating, it was our first time we'd like properly had a chance of winning away from home in this season. So that Ryan Glover taps it in right in front of all the away fans, and everyone's just like jumping, like piling over on each other right by the fence, celebrating with all the players. It was amazing, and one of the barriers broke.
Right,
and Boreham Wood like come out with a statement like saying, "Oh, Aldershot fans were disgraced. They started trashing the place, really breaking all the boards and stuff." And then it didn't help that our chairman had come out and threw all the fans under the bus, saying that we had done stuff wrong and that we broke it all and stuff. But yeah, Boreham Wood is just, yeah, it's a horrible run club, realistically, just from what I've seen. Like to be on the media, like the match day media for like the actual clubs, like they charge the other team,
stuff like that.
The most clever thing I've seen of that though, Dorking actually, when Dorking played Boreham Wood, they signed their media person as a player. So like they signed the contract and stuff. Obviously they weren't paying him anything, so he got into the match day for free, and then he just did all the media stuff there whilst he was a player.
They done something similar to us last year. We'll leave it at that. But it got to half time when the club caught wind of it, basically. But yeah, they tried half.
It wasn't because we were trying to charge them to be in the media area, but
it was COVID, wasn't it?
Long story short, a Dorking media officer or whatever his title was got named as a substitute.
Yeah, so he was in the dugout.
Oh, that is, what is it on the dugout
in his jeans? Didn't have a kit on.
He's just there with his laptop, sat in his jeans, just typing away on his MacBook, just like, yep.
I'm on the bench, mate.
I just imagine the scenes that Dorking actually did sub him on though in his jeans, just running up and down the line.
Yeah, that'd have been quite good, in fairness. That'd have been quite good. I think we should leave it there. That one.
I've got one more thing. I've got to ask. You may be a bit young, to remember the floodlight failure debacle. Was this?
I didn't want to mention.
Was this 2011? No, it's not that. But what I'm going to talk about the thing with Liam Dickinson.
Oh,
one of our players at the time. It was in this game that ended up getting a. But was it Boxing Day 2012? I think
it was Boxing Day 11.
Boxing Day 11. Yeah, one of our players, I think the ball's gone out near the touchline or whatever. It's like a bit of a contentious one. Both teams have gone, that's our ball. And I think it's been given as an order shot throw. Obviously, our player thinks it's our throw.
Oh, God.
And he boots the ball into the stand. And he absolutely just creams this little girl, like, in the face.
Sorry, I really shouldn't laugh. That's so funny.
So needless to say, he's gone over it. He's like, you can see he's like, shit. So he's gone over, like, trying to apologise. He's just getting absolute helters from the fans.
Jesus. Oh, no, that is... Yeah, the thing is, though, that is so unfortunate because you could just be boosting it away in frustration and then you could end up getting sent off because you just accidentally smacked a little girl in the face.
I'm pretty sure you've got to be thinking it's just going to hit the advertising board and bounce back, but it's obviously gone a bit too high and unfortunately hit somebody in the face.
Yeah, no, I was 8 years old when that happened.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a good one. But yeah, unfortunately, the floodlights went out. People still say that cost us promotion to this day.
Yeah, so it's one of them weird where it's like, because we were winning at the time, and then we lost the rearranged game. And
did he end up getting sent off for it?
I think he got booked.
Oh, he might have got booked, yeah. He did get sent off.
But yeah, so then it's like, people always go to that sort of one. It's like we screwed up. We threw away a lot easier points than that. Was it something ridiculous? We missed out on automatic promotion or something by a point. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And then everyone went back and blamed that that order shot game. But
yeah.
My first season as an order shot fan was it's weird. My first season as an order shot fan was 2019, and it was a 2-1 loss at home to Fold. And I've been going most of the time ever since. But
I'll be honest with you, if Southend lost 2-1 to Fylde, I'd never have gone back.
I don't know how you went back.
It's because one of my mates started going like 2016-17 season, because like their family, they're like born and raised in Aldershot. They've been going there since the 80s or something. So it just passed on to them. Obviously got passed down to my mate. His first game was, I think it was Tranmere in the playoffs when we lost, I think it was 3 or 4-1. One of our like best players, Jake Cole, like just spilt it in front of the goal. And it was just one of those where you just...
Oh, was it a keeper?
Yeah.
I remember him.
Yeah, and then so he went that day and then he took me along for the first game of the season in 2019. It was our first, I think Waddock had just been sacked or something because Danny Searle had just been appointed as the manager. And then... Yeah, we've just been fighting relegation ever since I've started supporting them. So I'm yet to see the glory days at Aldershot, but
I think you're certainly due a little bit of good luck then.
Oh, 100%. My plan is when I've got enough money and stuff from YouTube and I've made it, I'm gonna buy Aldershot and I'm gonna take us up the leagues. Hey, you're laughing now, but you won't be laughing when we beat Southend in like the League One playoffs to get promoted to the Championship.
I'll take that. We got back in League One.
Yeah.
Then probably see you in the the National League about 10 years later after I've like gone into debt or something.
We've probably got more chance of meeting the Conference South better final, mate, to be honest.
Yeah. I've had a few like people saying that I think Aldershot, they think that Aldershot could actually benefit from being relegated and just go for a full reset.
It depends if your club could afford it. I think if we were to do it, I think we'd actually fold.
Because I think straight away, if you get relegated again, I think straight away you got to go part time. And for us, that would that would cripple us.
Yeah, from the sounds of it, your chair would be able to full time in National South, so I doubt, I'm assuming we wouldn't be able to afford that as well. So
yeah
I think that would just cripple you.
Yeah, that's, I'm just, most of the time I'm just sat there just thinking, how the hell are Aldershot going to get out of this situation where Everyone hates the owner. We're still trying to appoint the right manager. We're sat, well, I mean, thankfully we're 6 points clear of the relegation zone. But I'm just thinking, how on earth are we going to, like, what is it going to take for Aldershot to turn around and actually start pushing up the table? Because we've had good players play for us. Like, Ethan Chislett's now playing in League Two, but we had John Noble with us a few years ago, and now he's playing in the Scottish First League, yeah, for Livingston.
Oh yeah, yeah,
player of the month after player of the month after player of the month, and you're thinking, well, we should have kept him. We had Sinclair Armstrong on loan from QPR last season, and now he's in the QPR team in the Championship.
Yeah,
and it's just like, what's it going to take for us to, like, actually? Obviously, it's hard for, like, loan players, but, like, what's it going to take to actually start keeping the good players we have and then just push on?
Yeah, I think we're all going through that, mate. I think that's the issue. I think we're all in that situation, thinking we've got all these players, or we had all these players that are now X, Y, and Z. And yeah, you look at the players you've got, maybe not so much at the moment for us, actually, we've got a good team, but, you know, maybe last season, you think, Christ, we're a million miles away from where we were.
Now, I reckon you guys will get the playoffs. I think just the last few games is just a mere blip in your season, because Southend don't have the quality to be pushing for the title. And when you are a playoff team, you are going to have those results where you lose 2-0 away to Aldershot, you lose 3-1 away at Gateshead. But then you do also have those things where, I don't know, you could just go away to Notts County and beat them like 2-0. Like, you never know.
Yeah.
Like, that is what separates the title winning teams from the playoff teams. It is just those results.
Small margins.
Small results. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, you are right. It's incredibly small margins, but that is pretty much what it is.
It's mental. The National League. So for Aldershot right now, we're 6 points off the relegation zone, but we're 7 points off the playoffs. Like, there is such a small gap between relegation and promotion, well, not promotion, but playoffs at the minute. Like, you look at York a few weeks ago, they were seventh, like, comfortable in the playoffs. Obviously, they had the situation, like, sacking their manager and stuff, but they're one place above Aldershot now. Mm. They're 17th on the table. And
but because literally a month ago, the game on Saturday, we played you. Literally a month earlier, we went away to York. I think at the time they were seventh. We beat them 2-0, and we all come away from that thinking, that's a great result.
Yeah, well, we was bloody... I tell you what, the one time that probably happened in my head was when we played Oldham away on a Friday night and they scored a 95th-minute winner. Like, a 10-hour round trip on a Friday night to lose in the 95th minute, that was...
That is rough. That is rough.
I got home at 3 a.m. I finished editing my video at 7 a.m. And then I was up. I had a nap, and I was up at 1 in the afternoon to get the train to London to go and watch the KSI fight. So I was, but, like, it's just when, like, going away to Boundary Park, like, everyone thought that Oldham were going to be in the playoffs this season. So I was just like, before they scored, I was like, a point at Boundary Park, I'll take that. They're going to be up there this season. They're going to be flying. They're going to be doing well. So a point away at such a big place at Boundary Park, I'll take it. If you look at it now, and I'm just thinking, not getting any points at Boundary Park, that is utterly dire. I mean, they're in the relegation zone, for crying out loud.
Yeah. I was actually about to say that. You look at that, you think a point ain't even necessarily a great result. You're 1-3.
Yeah, I mean, we could have won that game that day, but that's just football, realistically. I mean, most games you lose, you can win. I know that sounds stupid, like, normally, but, like, when you're, like, watching the game and you just have, like, that chance where someone could have squared it, or someone could have, I don't know, stopped someone from, oh, I don't know, but...
No, I know what you mean. It's like, there's very few games you see where you've been battered and you've not even had a chance. I know what you're saying. There's times you just think, well, you know, if he sticks that one away, we go 1-0 up. It's a very different game.
What would you say Southend's, like, best performances this season? Like, not necessarily result, but just you've come away from that thinking, wow, we're playing like prime Barcelona in that game.
Barnet away for me.
Yeah, that was a good one. But just for the sake of a bit of variety, I'll go for the Notts County home game. We drew 2-2, and it was just a proper scrap. It was two teams going at you could tell it was two decent sides playing good football, and it was a really, really enjoyable game.
Yeah, now I think for me, Halifax at home, nobody was we were hoping to win, but nobody was expecting us to put 5 past them. Well, that's the first time we scored 5 at home in 5 years, live on the bloody telly. And we're cursed when it comes to TV. I think before that, like the last 6 years, we'd like always lost when we're on BT Sports. So it was nice to actually get a win for a change. But that's one thing I want to ask is, like, what are your guys' expectations for Southend this season?
If we're talking purely on the pitch, then I would be disappointed if we're not in the playoffs. I'll leave it at that, because we've gone into all the sort of like the off the field issues that are well documented our end. So yeah, if the club can sort itself out on that front and keep its head above water, and on the pitch, like I think we should be in the playoffs. I don't think there are 7 teams better than us. So I think we'll be in there in some way or another.
Yeah, I just bloody hope that you guys make sure that Woking don't get anywhere near the playoffs, and I'll be happy. Because as sad as it is, they're building something over there. And
yeah, they're probably one harder. They're one of the better sides we've played, to be honest.
Yeah. Funny thing is, though, we'll still beat them on Boxing Day. Like, I don't know what it is, but like,
have to look out for it now.
We always seem to do well at Woking, and Woking fans will tell you that every time they come up against us, they never do well. I think we've won like the last 5 years in a row at Woking.
But pretty impressive.
Everyone's got a bogey side, mate.
Yeah. But it's Derby Day, the form goes out the window. That's the thing, that is one result I always look. Well, one game, sorry, I always look forward to. It's just when you're a club like Aldershot scrapping for your life, when you do finally get that big game, like it's sad to say, but Woking realistically is almost like our playoff game, because you're there. Like we normally get about like 1,500 a week. On Boxing Day, we have at least 3,000 fans at home, and that's not even including the away fans. And then we sell out Woking away for 1,100 every year.
So where's that come from then? Where do all these fans crawl out the woodwork for? Like for just the home gate? Why can't you sort of generate that?
It's that, because we're attendance. Doing poor. It's just a simple fact that we've been doing poorly for so long. Yeah. Like I said, 2016-17. I mean, when we played in the playoffs against Tranmere, we had about 6,200 at home. And if I wholeheartedly believe that if we were in the playoffs right now, we'll be getting 3,500 home fans every single home game. It's just we're not doing well, so people are just like, oh, what's the point? We're just going to lose, especially when ticket prices are how they are. It's not like they're horrible, but seeing as non-league clubs purely rely on gates as their income, they do have to have the prices relatively high. So yeah, now we have a massive fan base. We have unbelievable fans. It's just the fact we're not doing badly. Well, we're doing badly, sorry, that all the fans have just gone into hiding. But
yeah,
as I said a minute ago, if we were in the playoffs, we'd easily be getting 3,500 at home. A playoff match would probably be at least 6,000 at home. And away matches, I think when we reformed in like 1992, we were taking like 1,000 away fans to almost every match. So we do have the fans, and that is one thing, like when we were talking about earlier about appointing a manager, that is one thing that we really do have on our side is the fans. We do always, like you look at a club like Solihull, Moors, Bromley, Boreham Wood, like they're very good footballing sides and they'll do well this season. It's just they do not have fans.
They are, in the nicest way possible, they are very small clubs.
Well, yeah, like they will be up there this season, probably in the playoffs. But you look at teams like yourself where you're bringing like 700 fans, like taking 1,500 to Barnet. Like, it's just sad, really, because we do have the fan base to be up there. We just don't have the resources right now. Like, it's hard because, like, if you just, say for example, the chairman just sat down and went, you know, for a one-off season, I'm going to give the manager everything he wants and we do push for the playoffs. Although, like, the tickets will go through the roof, we'll end up bringing in so much revenue through, like, ticket price, like, ticket sales and stuff. The amount of money that we end up investing in the squad could then just lead us to more problems down the line, and then we'll spend another 5 years battling relegation. So I think it's just, in terms of, like, the club, it's just about carry on finding other sources of revenue. But I know they're, like, building, like, a hotel and stuff, like, around the ground, and apparently it's going to be, like, the next big thing to bring loads of revenue into the club. But yeah, it's just finding that revenue, building a stable base, and just hopefully pushing up, because last thing you'd want is to get promoted or push for the playoffs for a few seasons and then be fighting relegation for the next 10 years.
Mm. Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. So, say, bide your time, mate, wait for the new chairman. You might get a chance.
As I said, I promise anybody listening to this podcast or anything now, I will, in my lifetime, be owner of Aldershot Town Football Club.
I love the ambition.
No, see, you wait. Even if it's like 10 years' time,
we're going to clip this. We are going to clip this.
You can clip this, and when it inevitably happens, you can think, I was sat there talking to him when he said that he was going to do it. The clip's here to prove it. He had ambition when he was younger, and he's actually stuck by his words.
He's seen it through.
Oh. Mm. Yeah, I think that's probably a good time to wrap up this.
Yeah.
Cheers for coming on, mate. Really appreciate it.
No, I really enjoyed it. Thanks
for your time, mate. And when the fixture calendar rolls round and we've got the reverse fixture, we'll get you back on and we'll see where our seasons have taken us at that point.
Oh, fingers crossed we're a lot higher up the table than we are now. And who knows, you guys might be even more cemented up there. But
I
really appreciate you guys having me on. And
no, thank you, mate. You've given up your time to do us a favour. Really appreciate it.
No, good luck to Southend for the rest of the season. And thank you for the 3 points.
I was going to wish you luck, but you could piss off now.
thanks very much. I'll speak to you guys in a bit. Have a good one.
Cheers,
you
mate.
Too. See you later. Thank you.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Open them up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.